For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Free from the Law, as we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
This veil is really done away in Christ. When you see Jesus Christ as our perfect substitute for our sins, our sacrifice, we come to an understanding of the righteousness of God being satisfied through the death of Jesus Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They are just blinded to the truth. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So there are a couple of passages here that the Pentecostal people really grab onto. This is the second one. The first one is, the letter killeth, the Spirit gives life. This is another one that they latch on to. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And they interpret that in a very broad way. There is liberty to do all kinds of things. Liberty to scream out and to shout out and to run up and down the aisles and, you know, whatever happens to suit their fancies. Again, it is taking it out of context. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty from the law and from the bondage of the law. Free from the law, there's no condemnation, for Jesus provides a perfect salvation. And so this is freedom from the requirements of the law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The work of God's Spirit within our hearts is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. When God first made man, he made man in his image. God said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. And so was man created in the image of God. But through sin, man fell and no longer was in the image of God. The image of God being a spiritual image. God is a spirit. Man was created a spirit being, dwelling in the body, possessing a consciousness. But God said, in the day that you eat, you will surely die. When man sinned, his spirit died. And so Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, and you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. God's chief emotional attribute is love. God made man with the capacity to love, a need for love. God is light, and so God created man with the light and mind and a consciousness of God. But through sin, man came into darkness. His foolish heart was darkened. And so man, made in the image of God, fallen from that image, But now the purpose of God is to restore man into his image again, that man might receive a restoration of that which God intended him to be before he fell. And that is what the Spirit is doing in our lives tonight as we yield ourselves to the work of God's Spirit within us. He is conforming us into the image of Christ. Now we all with open face or unveiled faces. The children of Israel have a veil. Every time they read Moses, a veil is over their heart and their eyes are blinded. But we with open face, as we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As I'm looking in the mirror, seeing my reflection, I can see the work of God that is taking place in my life as the Spirit of God is changing me and bringing me into the image of Jesus Christ. How beautiful it is to look at God's work in our own life and just to marvel at what God has done. There have been areas in my life, the old nature, that were extremely ugly. I used to have an ugly temper, easily ignited at the slightest provocation. And it was ugly. And I didn't like what I saw in me. I hated that nasty demonstration of that temper, and I tried to control it, but I just couldn't. Things would happen, and before I knew it, poof, it was gone, and I'd blown up. And here I was, ashamed, embarrassed at the things I did and the things I said. Guilty, defeated. And with all of my efforts, I could not control it. And one day I said, God, I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I've tried, Lord. I just can't do it. And I gave up in despair, ever hoping to have control over that temper. And then the Spirit took over. And he did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And he took away the inward boiling, the inward steam. It wasn't a thing of my keeping the cap on the pressure, seething inside, ready to just explode, but just holding tight and keeping the lid on, you know. But somehow the Spirit from within took away the pressure, the steam. And I could look at a situation, or I could experience a situation where at one time I would have exploded violently into that ugliness. And there were no more explosions. And as I looked in the mirror, I saw the Spirit's work in my life, changing me into the image of Jesus. How glorious it is when God works in us by His Spirit, bringing to pass those changes, removing the ugliness of the self life and of the old life, and conforming us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And as David, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. Someday when I look in the mirror, and I see the Lord, I'll be in glory at that point. But what a day that's going to be. When the Spirit's job is finished in my life, and I am completely conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we're going to be. But we know that when He shall appear, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But thank God, each day there are changes that are taking place as the Spirit of God continues His work in my life, conforming me into the image of God's dear Son. How does it happen? By just continuing to look to Jesus. When I look to myself, I can't do it. When I look to others to aid me, they can't do it. The only place that I can find really effective help is by looking to Jesus Christ. It seems that we want to look to man so quickly. Oh, let's run down and counsel with a pastor on this, you know. Let's see if he has some magic words that will change us. We're always getting calls. The story goes basically like this. I've talked to seven other pastors, and they haven't been able to help me. Now I want to talk to Chuck. Hey, I'm sorry, friend, but I don't have any help either. I don't have any magic formulas. I don't have any magic words. Your changes that are so necessary are not going to come to pass through counseling sessions, looking to man. But those changes that are necessary can only come to pass when you look to Jesus Christ. I don't know where the church ever got messed up in these counseling programs. Getting people to depend upon the counselor to solve their problems. There is a interesting study that has just been released by, I think it's the Sells-Eisneck report. Oh, it's really stirring things up something fierce. For they have made a pretty comprehensive study of people with mental problems who have turned to psychoanalysts to solve their problems. And they have found that when a person turns to a psychoanalyst to help them with their problem, in 45% of the cases, by the end of a year's therapy with a psychoanalysis, only 43% could quit counseling. Were helped enough that they needed no more counsel. Only 43%. Those who went to psychotherapists, it was a little better. 52% did not have to continue after a year. Those who could afford a psychiatrist came off a little better. For 61% who went to psychiatrists did not have to continue counseling after the year. However, those who didn't go to anybody, 73% didn't need any counseling at the end of the year. As I said, this study is turning the whole field of psychology on its ear right now. It's really the big buzz through all the universities, the release of this report. But it's just pointing up what I'm telling you. Your help is going to come from the Lord. It's looking unto Jesus that you're going to find your answers. And as long as you're looking unto man and trying to make a crutch out of some counselor, you're not going to make it. You've got to turn to Jesus and find the help that He offers. And so we, with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are then changed from glory to glory into the same image as His Spirit is working within our hearts. The best thing any counselor can do is make you dependent upon Jesus Christ. The greatest service any counselor can do for you is to bring you to Jesus Christ and to a dependency on Him, because He's the only one that's going to bring you any help. Several years ago, when I was counseling a psychiatrist, He made me a very lucrative offer to go into business with him. He wanted me to begin counseling in his offices. He had a clinic. And he said, I can give you the technical problem with that person. I can tell you what's gone wrong. But he said, having done that, I can't do much more. He said, you have the answers. I want you to go to work for me. But the answer is just pointing people to Jesus Christ. Get people to trust in him. Get people to look to him. We, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed from glory to glory. The changes do take place as God's Spirit works in my life. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? Pointing people to Jesus Christ. We have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul said, look, I am not seeking to be crafty. I'm not seeking to give some kind of a hype. Get people all hyped up emotionally and all. Handling the word of God in a crafty manner or deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I had lunch today with some people from Israel, and the man sitting next to me at lunch said, you know, I first became acquainted with you when you were on television, on Channel 13. He said, one morning as I tuned in, I saw you standing there. I saw the menorah behind you, and he said, you were teaching from the Old Testament. And he said, I called my wife and said, look, here's a rabbi that doesn't wear his yarmulke. He must be a Reformed rabbi. And he said, I started listening to your program every Sunday, started watching. And he said, you were so unlike so many of the other ministers that are on TV. He said, so many of these Christian TV programs insult my intelligence. All of the hype and all of the emotionalism. He said, it insults my intelligence. But he said, you gave me something to think about, and you started me thinking in many areas. This is what Paul's saying of his own ministry. Hey, I was straightforward with you. I didn't try and give some hype. I didn't try and use the word of God deceitfully. I renounced those hidden things of dishonesty. I didn't walk in craftiness. And believe me, there's a lot of crafty fellows out there. They've existed from the time of the beginning of the church, and unfortunately, they still exist today. I do receive some of the most craftily written, computerized letters you ever saw in your life. Every kind of gimmick you could ever think of. If I'll just send in $5 or $10 or $15 or go to the bank and borrow $50 to get them out of the jam that they're in right now, then I'll get a little square inch of the prayer rug where they kneel to pray for me. Paul said, we've renounced these hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the demonstrating of the truth, commending ourselves in every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, there were those who were saying that Paul was preaching mysteries that you could not understand. The gospel that Paul preaches is hid. And so Paul answers them in a very clever way. He said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. They're the ones that can't see it. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. A very interesting passage of Scripture, and one that we'd like to spend just a little time with you tonight, because I think it's a key that's going to help in your praying for your loved ones who are not saved. As we mentioned earlier, we have been created in the image of God, and one of God's characteristics is that he is self-determinant. That is, he has a will and the capacity to exercise his will. The power of choice. And God created you in his image and gave to you the power of self-determination so that you can determine your own destiny. And you do determine your own destiny. Having given us the power of choice, it was necessary that God then respect the choices that we make. The moment God would no longer respect my choice but force me to do something against my will, then I am not really a self-determinate creature. So for this self-determination to be valid, it was necessary that God respect the choices that I make and that there be an opportunity to make a choice.
The Old and New Testament study guides are the perfect companion to your Bible, featuring insightful commentary from Pastor Chuck Smith. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone who might ask you about Jesus? The best way to be prepared is to know the Scriptures. The study guides are designed to help you grow in your understanding of God's Word quickly and easily. Alongside Pastor Chuck's clear verse-by-verse commentary, you'll find key Hebrew word definitions, biblical maps, charts, and diagrams that help bring the Scriptures to life. Each section also includes study questions to help deepen your faith and apply God's Word to your daily walk. So whether you're new to the Bible or have studied for years, the Old and New Testament study guides will help you discover timeless truths with clarity and confidence. To order your copies, visit twft.com or call 800-272-9673. The Word for Today, helping you understand God's Word for life today.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord strengthen you through this week, and may the Word be as a fire burning within your heart as God ministers to you His truth. And may your life be purged through the Word, cleansed. And may you walk with the Lord in beautiful fellowship. And may God grant to you opportunities of witnessing and serving Him in Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Corinthians 3 through 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.